Welcome, everybody, to issue 92 for Heroes Asylum. Of course, you have the Gray Streak here, Captain Mike, and Kane, like always. I am rocking the No Shave November. So, yes, that is what you're seeing there.
Filling in rather nicely.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it look pretty.
Yeah. Not a bad job, sir. Not a bad.
Hey, keep it rolling, man. It's nature, man. It's not like I can do much work on it.
Nature,
I just let it grow.
Must nurture. Yes, that is true, sir.
So guys, we are here, issue 92, for Heroes Asylum. We have made some changes, and hopefully, sounds like we got the bugs worked out from last week. So it sounds like we'll be able to cruise
knock
along.
On wood.
Yeah, knocking on wood. I'm watching the levels right now as we speak. But so much news, so many things happened this week, but something happened close to home, close to family, so to speak.
It's all about family.
And I feel it's appropriate that Kane have his moment. So I thought I'd give you and the S&F family some time to talk,
to mourn, to
get it out your system.
Well, I guess I'll be speaking for the SPN Nation today. So you guys know the last episode of Supernatural aired on Thursday, season 15, episode 20, which was titled "Carry On." How fitting, Carry On. And basically, if you guys watch episode 19, that basically, from all accounts, should have been the end of the series, according to some people, but it wasn't. We had one more episode, and you know, whether you read the net or Twitter accounts, and to me, it's been 50-50 from what I've seen. People either love it or they either hate it. I'm on the opposite side. I loved it. I love the way it ended. I thought it was a fitting end. Spoilers, put your earmuffs on, kids, if you haven't watched it yet. But Dean dies in a hunt. Sam grows old. He dies. And they reunite in heaven with baby and Carry On, Your Wayward Son is playing and all that stuff. But I thought the episode was good. I thought, you know, there's never going to be a way you can end a show like this right. There's always going to be people who bitch and moan, so you just got to deal with that. But I thought the way they did it was perfect, because they basically, it mirrors the pilot where Dean looked for Sam at college, and now basically it's 15 years later, and basically he's dying on a hunt. That's the way he was always going to go out, and Sam was always going to live that normal life and grow old and have a kid. So that's my thoughts on it.
Well, I think everything I've seen, I haven't seen anybody that has said hated it. It's the discussion is always, well, this is the way it ended. Well, it could have ended with them both growing old together.
Yes.
But I've never heard hate from anybody in the nation or in the family. So, you're on the boards a little bit more than I am for the Supernatural boards. Mm-hmm. But again, I lean towards the other side. I know you're more of the darker ending. You wanted the dark ending to me, you know. And to me, I always thought it was them getting out of that and having a normal life and being what they were supposed to be. Honestly, to me, I thought it would have been more poignant. Like, I think it was season 3 or 4 where Sam died and Dean went off and actually had a normal life.
Yeah,
is a more poignant ending, that Dean goes off and actually has the normal life, you know.
Well, that was going to be the original ending anyway.
Right. And again, that's, you know, there's always that talk. Was it season 5 that was supposedly supposed to be the true ending of the original, like, the story that they had planned with the original showrunner?
Swan Song with Eric Kripke was supposed to be the last episode, because he originally wrote the 5-year arc, and Swan Song is where it was going to end. And basically, you're right, it was going to be Dean having the normal life, and Sam was the one who did the sacrifice.
Right.
But you know, they flipped it around. The show got really popular, and you know, 10 seasons later, they finally decided to end it. Well, actually, they did. It wasn't the showrunners didn't end it. The CW didn't tell them to end it. It was actually the two guys who were like, "Yep, you know, it's time to walk away."
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they're both going off to doing something else. I think, is it Padalecki going off to do Texas Ranger?
Yeah, Padalecki's doing Walker.
Walker, yeah.
Which is crazy. It's literally a turnaround, because it premieres in January. I didn't think it was gonna be that fast, but yeah, they basically have already shot a couple episodes, so they're just going to premiere in January. And I think Jensen Well, we know he's going to be in The Boys next year, season 3, playing Soldier Boy. That's what I know. And who knows what else he has? I mean, he's a talented dude, so I'm sure he's going to pop up somewhere. I'll even make a bet that he's going to show up in an episode of Walker.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not this season, but probably like later seasons he'll show up. Maybe, you know, just hey, or as a bad guy or something. I don't know, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see something along those lines where where he shows up, have that moment. If you remember in Maverick, the movie Maverick, when Mel Gibson's in there and Danny Glover comes in dressed up as a robber and he pulls down his mask and they just kind of do that pause like hey. And you hear the music to Lethal Weapon, like there's that song that Eric Clapton wrote. Or it's Clapton or Sting wrote that, where, you know, it's like kind of this like little love ballad of the two guys, and you can just hear that playing softly in the background. I see that happening. I see them bumping into each other, and you hear Carry On, you know, you hear Kansas playing on in the background somewhere.
Which, by the way, the ending to me, when Dean's in heaven, and it's the first thing Bobby asks, was Bobby Singer or Bobby shows up, and they're in you see the saloon, which I think they used in season 3 or 4. I don't know. It was a backdrop.
Was it where the girls were? Where the
I think that's the bar that blew up in season 3.
Okay,
I think so. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's season 3. I think that's later than season 3. Actually, when the two girls come around, I think
might be 2 or 3. I'm not sure. Like they've had so many seasons, but I think that's the bar that Joe and Ellen owned. And Bobby was there and basically saying, "Hey, your mom and dad are over there. Rufus is over there." And what's the first thing you want to do in heaven? Because apparently heaven has changed. Jack broke down all the walls with Cass. Yes, Cass is still alive. He's mentioned. Not in this episode, but he is mentioned. And the first thing that Dean does is he sees Baby in heaven and gets in her and starts driving in heaven. And Carry On Your Wayward Son is playing, like the original version by Kansas. And then later on, another version starts playing, which is these girls sang it, which wasn't bad neither. I thought both versions were pretty good and very fitting to the way the show ended. And, you know, the guys meet up at a bridge and welcome to heaven. And that's it. So
that's all she wrote.
Very good. Well,
Supernatural. But I could see in the future, like they talked about, hey, maybe it'll come back, you know, like a revival, like a limited series on Netflix, 8 episodes. I could see that happening, but not in the distant future, like maybe down the
road. These guys have spent their, you know, 15 years of their lives playing these characters. They want to go off and do other things. They want to experience Hollywood. You know, it's great to have that run, you know, I was watching the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They did their little reunion on HBO Max, which is kind of fun if anybody was ever a fan. I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't watch every episode, but I enjoyed every time I watched it. I wanted to see it. And it was funny. It's like, you know, they're sitting there talking about, you know, we were together 7-8 years for doing this show. And it's like that's a big chunk of your life. And especially they were talking to the youngest daughter, the youngest actress that was on there. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I started this show when I was 12 and I, you know, left, you know, when I was almost 20. And it's like, you know, it's a big part of your, you know, chunk of your life. And that's kind of falls the same thing with them. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, 15 years. You got to think they're in their, what, their mid-40s now?
Yeah, they're a little bit younger than us.
So early 40s. And imagine spending your all your 30s and, you know, up to now doing one thing and one thing only.
Yeah, they went into that show single, both of them, and I think they both left. I think they each have 3 kids now, so.
Yep.
They got families to feed. 3 kids.
They met their wives from the show.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a big deal. So there you go, guys. The end of an era with the Supernatural. Hopefully, we won't have to talk about it ever again. We've dedicated 9 minutes to it now. Sorry. I'm trying to poke at you and a couple other folks.
Mean.
So let's play this song one last time.
Hey, one last time.
So let's move on to something that actually was spoken about months ago, and we kind of laughed it off. Director Patty Jenkins made the comment, Wonder Woman is going to be your Christmas gift. And of course, then, you know, the change got pushed or it's going to come out later, you know, or the beginning of next year. But it has just been announced that Wonder Woman 1984 will be dropping December 25th, also on HBO Max. And theatrically, so for the theaters that are still open, that are still, you know, letting folks come in, and if you guys can get a seat, again, most of them are 40% capacity, you know, to take care of the plague that will not be named. So we have to keep that in mind. But it is coming out. So Christmas gift, we will finally get a new DC movie dropping soon on December 25th. So I'm excited about it. I can't wait for it. And it's funny, is like, I remember Patty Jenkins making the comment, like I said, a couple months ago, and we're all like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. And then she actually, that post she gave, you know, came to fruition. So that's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
I'm definitely going to go to the theaters and see it. I'm going to try to see
that. I think I'm going to.
That's the one, like, I know it's going to be an HBO streaming, and I think one of the logistics they've talked about in this whole thing, the reason why they're doing both, is they want to see how much money they can make out there with the disease that shall not be named, and they want to see how many subscribers they can get to HBO Max by throwing Wonder Woman 84 on there, which is, you know, a good ploy. I mean, I think you talked about it before, like, you know, this is going to be the future, you know, going forward, if they're going to do the dual thing, like the theater thing, you know, because it's not full capacity right now, and they're going to release it on streaming also. So this is kind of like their biggest test, because I think Tenet didn't work out the way they wanted to. So I think Warner Brothers is just trying some other avenues to see if they can get that money back, you know, for making this film. I know the film was over at least a budget of over $100 million. So.
Yeah. Well, they have a plan for it, actually. I was reading the article, and they have a plan that it will drop the 25th. And because we don't know what theater is going to be open on Christmas. I mean, it is Christmas. But that was something I used to do. You know, sometimes I would go to a movie theater, movies on Christmas if I didn't have family around. But they're talking from that day to day 32. No, I'm sorry. From the first day it drops, the 25th, to the first 31 days, it will be on there. Warner Brothers will pull it from HBO Max. So you're going to have about a month to catch it on HBO Max. Then it will continue to play on the theaters for whatever theaters that are out there. From day 32 to day 60, the sequel will have an exclusive theater window before it goes back to being open to PVOD. So, you know, so where you can actually purchase it on your streaming services if you want to purchase it through Amazon, Vudu, you know, your Poison. And that's what they're looking at. In the end, let's see here, they did check and touch base with AMC to let them know, and there was a deal worked out with them that there's a certain percentage or something that's going on. I didn't get that in depth to it, but yeah, that's what they're talking about. And hopefully, a news dropped today that hopefully any of you guys out there that have Roku is the last of the holdouts for HBO Max. You can get HBO Max on every format out there. Roku is the last of them, and according to the news article I read today, that they're like days away from saying, "Hey, we're going to be done." So, and they're going to have HBO Max on there. So that's my biggest issue. Is for me is like I can watch my HBO Max on my, you know, my PlayStation or my Xbox or my, you know, my Chromebook or something, but I can't, you know, just chill out and watch it. I have, you know, on my TV, I have to have, you know, something extra on. Mm. So I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, well, they're the last big holdout, I guess. So
yeah, you know, iTunes and Apple, I think they cleared it last week. I think it was one of the big holdouts. Them and try to remember who the other one was that it was still a big holdout. I'm bringing it up. So
looking it up now?
Yeah. No. I was bringing up okay. No. There's a couple other holdouts that were still out there. So, but yep. But that's what we're looking at for them to come out. So looking forward to it. Can't wait to see what they've plan to do. I mean, it's been one of those ones. And there's talk now with Black Widow. They're talking, there was a secret, I don't know if you saw this. This was online. I saw it on YouTube, and I saw it one other place on Twitter, where somebody got a copy, was supposedly a copy of the new promotion for a Disney 18 plus sort of thing, where it would be 18 year old and over. If this is a fake, you know, awesome job. I mean, they did a great job on this, but basically it's talking about, because they own so much adult oriented R-rated stuff, they can't put it really out there unless they put some sort of blocker on it. So there's talk of doing like a Disney plus 18 one, and they're talking of having that's where Black Widow may debut when they roll that out, because we're still waiting to hear news on Black Widow.
Yeah, what did they say? May of next year, 2021.
Right now. But they're talking about that, you know, with this new version, not a new version, just probably like an extension of the Disney Plus app. Oh. Oh.
they got to do something. I think Wonder Woman's going to be the test, and I think Disney Plus is going to see how they're doing it, and then they'll go from there.
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, this is the first big one that's actually they're saying, hey, we're going to drop it on streaming and movie.
Well, theaters. No, really, the big one was Mulan. That was a big one. That was the big. That was the big one. Tested.
That was the mistake.
Tenet was the only one that went out straight to theater. So we've had two tests. We've had Mulan, which was POV, you know, POVD. Then we had Tenet, which was straight to theater. Which, great movie, guys. If you haven't gotten a chance to check it out, make sure you check out Tenet. Good movie. But this is the first one where it's going to be a straight to the streaming service and theater, and there's no charge on the streaming service. Like that was saying, 30 days. You get it for free if you're on HBO Max. And you figure it's not a bad idea because HBO Max is about $14, $13 around there, depending on what deal you get. That's, you know, if they do that for 30 days and bump up their subscriptions, that's not bad. That's a ticket price right there.
Yeah, that is. That's what it is.
You know, and then you see what they have and you see the product they have. And it's not a bad – for the price, it is a little high on the price. But when you actually look and see what – products they have on there and all the shows that they have and are coming, you just can't go wrong with it. So
they got an extensive library on there, definitely. So it's definitely worth the buy, and hopefully, like I said, it does well. I'll be definitely going to the theaters and definitely supporting the film.
Definitely. So what do you got? You got anything?
Who's this guy? I can't pronounce. If I butcher this guy's name,
sorry, nobody's watching.
Please let me know. Okay, it's Okoye Brunson. Is that his name? Okoye Brunson. Yes, he was cast as Yakim Thunder in Stargirl Season 2. So you're getting Yakim Thunder in Stargirl. I don't know too much about the character. So
neither do
maybe.
I don't know. Yakim Thunder does not ring a bell to me at all. So, yeah, I can't really can't help you on that one.
I'm just trying to see who he is. And I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's probably a minor character just bringing in. I know he's a young African American actor, so I guess they're just trying to diversify the cast more.
I'm sure it's something to do with the Justice Society. And I've my time with the Justice Society has been very limited in like what I've read and what I've seen of them, primarily like early '90s and really those were the I've read those runs once and I was done.
Was a one and done,
yeah, kind of thing. I mean, they were good, just okay. But again, we got to think about when I was reading in the '90s, the comic books were like getting like thrown up all over the place every week. Yeah, it was just craziness.
Those a lot of good runs in there,
and they were all original stuff and different stuff, but not compared to now. Yes, there's a lot of comic books coming out now, but a lot of them are the same books just with different variant covers.
So, well, did you know? Speaking of comic books, I think on Wednesday was the 28-year anniversary of one particular comic that came out that should have some interest to not only you, but most of our audience out there, if they're in the geek singularity. 28 years ago, I believe it was on Wednesday, was the release of The Death of Superman in comic book form. Yes, Superman died 28 years ago. So I thought that was an interesting one to bring up.
Yeah, that is. Has it been 28 years?
28 years, yeah, on a Wednesday.
I thought I was still in high school during that time.
You probably were.
But that I wasn't 28 years ago. That's the.
It says 28 years ago. I could be wrong. But yeah, 28. Can't believe that it's been that long since Doomsday stuck his spikes inside Superman's chest and made him bleed out, and Lois was crying, and then you had that famous panel where you see the cape of Superman just like basically as a flag.
93, yeah, 93. I kept thinking it was like 91 for some reason.
Yeah, but you talk about an iconic cover and image. You know, that was like one of the first times that we've actually, because I think the subscription rates and the sales are plummeting, so
everybody was hurting. Yeah,
so DC was like, you know what, let's just go for broke, and they kill Superman. So that was like And since then, people have died off and come back. Like, they've killed Spider-Man. I think they've killed Batman, sort of, and other characters. But he was the first big one that actually took a swing at.
Yeah, it was always a joke. There's a documentary out there where they talk about it, and there was always a joke about every year they would get together. Hey, okay, what are we going to plan for this year? Okay, what are we going to do? And it was always kill Superman was always on the chalkboard or the whiteboard, and they just kept pushing it. Finally, one year they're just like, man, what can we do? And they finally like, let's do it. You know, sales were so low, and they waited to see what happened with this before they did the not the death of Batman, but the wounding of Batman.
Yeah, that's Nightfall was.
I think
94. Yeah, a little bit after that. Yeah.
So. Well, this is October. Yeah, so it came in like I think the summer of 94 is when Nightfall came in. So it was
another iconic image of Bane basically breaking the bat, and that's two of those visual covers right there. I would love to have that in my house somewhere, just like those covers of Lois holding the dead Superman and then Bane.
Well, that actually wasn't the cover of the death of Superman. The cover.
No, I know, but I'm saying that particular panel. Yeah, I know that's not the cover, but
I think that's the cover for the graphic novel
that they released. Yeah.
Speaking of Batman, did you check out Batman Soul of the Dragon trailer? The next installation to the new world of DC Universe. Man, I fucking loved it. I was like, man, this is Bond. This is Bat Bond. I mean, really is how I loved it. Seeing Lady Shiva and Richard Dragon on there, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, they're going forward, and DC always plays with their multiverses. I don't think it's part of the new canon that they're starting. But
I don't know. The style looked like it was.
I don't know, because they're going. It looks like they're going back, or is it? It doesn't say what time period.
No, because we got the introduction of Superman in the last one, and that was early in his career. So I think we're getting a reintroduction, because remember the old universe is dead. We flashpoint that. So this is supposed to me. My understanding is this is part of that new world, and this is Batman's history. I think some of the coolest Batman animated series. Some of the best ones I loved was when he went to Japan and got trained there. And so this is just showing that side of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what this is going to be. Oh, let's see here. The film was announced, the 13th of August 13th. It's set feature an original story set in 1970s. It's just what it says. So yeah, it's nothing on there. But yeah, they've got got Kelly Hugh on here playing Lady Shiva.
There's a character that hasn't been touched yet in live action. That'd be nice to see Lady Shiva. So I wonder if she'll show up in Batwoman. That'd be kind of cool.
See, that's something. Yeah, it's something. One of those characters I think would be great. David Controlli. I can never pronounce his name. He's on Grimm. Has been on The 13th Hour and Buddy Moon. He's going to be playing. He's going to be playing our Bruce Wayne Batman.
I wonder if he's going to be the new Bruce Wayne Batman going forward.
Well, we shall see. I mean, they are.
Like because said, they still have. Children. They've been using. Well, Jason Amaro was the one they used for a while. And his run ended with the ending of Darkseid War. So, and Kevin Conroy's basically retired from that role. But he comes back every now and then.
Yeah, if they do Elseworlds or something like that, they'll usually go ahead and
look at Kevin. But yeah, because I know they're trying to get that. And Roger Craig Smith, he does it as well. Troy Baker does Joker. I don't think Troy does Batman. Yeah, Roger Craig Smith. Yeah, so I guess they're going to try a couple different voices. That's what they've been doing. But the trailer looks really cool.
Yeah.
I like the vibe of it. It looks like it's set. Obviously, it's set in the 70s, so it just looks cool. That's what I'm going to say. It just looks cool. Yeah, I'm a DC homer, but it does look cool.
Cool. What about, I know you, it's the one I talked to you about it last night, but the next Transformers film is coming. They're starting to start doing rolling on it and pre-production, and they're talking director from Creed 2, Stephen Cappell Jr. to direct it instead of, this will be like the first one outside of Bumblebee to not be a Bay movie.
What is it? Just a Transformers movie, but all of them, or it says what it's about?
We're pre right now. They're not going to give the information out.
Okay.
But this is a reboot continuation of like from the Bumblebee one. So it's not going to be the
Bay. Good.
It's going to be what we got with Bumblebee, because again, the fan favorite was the Bumblebee movie, like the old school fan favorite, us old folks, that had us issues with the first one. But yeah, they're talking that the new one, it's going to be based off the Bumblebee continuation, and no news on that other than just that. And to me, that's news. To me, that's good enough to really go.
Works for me. Hey, if they're going to keep going on that Bumblebee thread that Travis Knight is a writer on Daredevil. Travis Knight, he did the Bumblebee movie. And I love the way he did it. He got the G1 on there, which is, you know, one of my favorites, stored in Cybertron. The whole movie was great. Basically a First Contact movie. I always say that. It's basically a kid and her car. And all the good feels that fell in between. And Optimus Prime was in there. I mean, you didn't even need big Decepticons in there. You just had a couple of them, and that was it. So, you know, I dug it. And if this guy, he did a good job with Creed, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm good with that. Because I mean, with Creed, it's partial action, but it's more heart. It's more
story driven.
Yeah, it's more very, very strong story driven. So that's why I'm kind of hoping they'll go with that, which is what we really want.
Yeah, that's what I want, especially in a Transformers movie. I don't want no more explosions. I'm done.
Yeah,
please, thank you.
So, what? You got anything else, sir?
Hey, did you see some pictures online of Joe Manganiello and Ben Affleck sharing new pictures of the Justice League?
Yeah,
look pretty cool, right?
I guess.
I know, they're just pictures, man.
Just, again, I'm not. I don't have the excitement of the new Justice League just yet. Sorry, it's there, it's coming, and I'm.
Nice pictures, though. Yeah, they had like what Slade Wilson with the mohawk.
There is just so much stuff coming out of that of Batgirl, Catwoman, and I'm like, just release it. Stop teasing us. Stop messaging us, and just release it. That's what I just want him to do. I know he's riding this, he's on this, you know, the fans love him to death, and I love what you do, Zach. I really do, but he just sometimes tweets just random shit like, oh, I was thinking about doing this, and of course all the fanboys and fangirls go frothing on the mouth and like, oh, they're gonna put that in the mouth. They're not. He was just talking about it. Yeah. So put the phone down and get back to work. Just like somebody else I once said that about. So
sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, but of course, you know, he had mentioned that Joe wasn't even planned for the original one.
No. So I guess it's part of the
extra 5 minutes.
Extra 5 minutes, yeah. So it's going to be a hell of a 5 minutes because they got
cram a lot in there. It's a lot of
5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
It's like a whole movie in that 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what it's the longest five. This time is taking longer to make this 5 minutes than it did probably the actual movie.
Yeah, well, because he had most of the movie shot. He just, you know, reviz and just putting post production in there and all the effects. So,
yes, we shall see. Did you see the nails finally in the coffin for the Arrowverse and CW? Did you see we're losing another show?
Losing Black Lightning. Yeah,
I understand. I understand the ratings weren't that great, but just more and more shows for the CW just dropping, and it's not looking pretty.
I think this was always going to be the way they wanted to do it after Crisis. They were going to, like, Arrow was the first one to drop, then Supergirl, now Black Lightning, and they're just kind of tightening up because they're making room for new shows. I know Painkiller is supposed to come out of this, which I don't know why, but, you know. He's a decent enough character, but I don't think he deserves his own show. I know they've talked about Wonder Girl. That's another one.
Yeah, they're talking Superman, Lois, and Wonder Girl right now are the ones in the works. So, and then, of course, Painkiller.
Painkiller. I'm like, okay.
Well, it's just very strange ones. You got really great, strong characters and great storylines. Why? I understand the ratings were kind of weird, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Black Lightning one of those ones that kind of fell to the moving around too much?
Moved around a lot. Yeah, that was one.
It's kind of one of those ones that's, I mean, great story, great backing, but.
Yeah, the episodes were well written, man. Very well written.
But yeah, so they'll have one more season and then they'll go bye-bye. And that kind of blows our whole hope of, you know, of the rebirth of the Milestone. It was like introducing Static Shock into his world.
Yeah, I mean, he could show up in Painkiller, I guess, if they want to do it that way. But yeah, I think it would have been much better if he showed up in Black Lightning.
Yeah.
But hey, what do I know? I'm not an exec, so we'll see what happens. I mean, yeah, the CW, and I guess right now the Elder Statesman is going to be the Flash. I think the Flash is going to be on for a while. I think I could see the Flash. I don't
know. I'd see that another 2 years, honestly.
You think so? Yeah. I think Flash might end after season 10. I think Flash will be on for 10 seasons.
Think so?
Yeah.
So I saw this little rumor running around. I thought this was a really cool idea. I know you've only seen the movie once, Marvel, Captain Marvel, but there was something running around that because she's not going to be part of the new phase. She's not Captain Marvel 2 is not coming out till phase 5. So that's around the time, you know, we've talked about that. We expect to see some X-Men stuff coming around. Mm-hmm. What a cool way of bringing Captain Marvel and then the X-Men universe together is by bringing Rogue in.
Ooh.
An and introducing. I saw this on, this is on CBR.com, and I thought this was the coolest idea. I never thought of it, was when introducing, you know, bringing Captain Marvel in for, you know, her second one, bring her back here, but have her and Rogue go toe-to-toe, explain Rogue's origin story of getting the powers, because, you know, her power of flight comes from Carol. And that's a way to introduce, bring those X-Men factors into it. Not X-Factor, but the X-Men into the world. And I was like, man, that is a really interesting idea, because, you know, they still have to somehow explain where the X-Men came from. You know, were they part of the snap? And now all of a sudden everybody's got these powers. But, you know, I mean, it was, you know, with Chris Claremont, you know, with his introduction and creating of Rogue and bringing her in that way, I think that's a, what better way of doing that is to utilize an existing character who supposedly is supposed to be the, you know, the head of the, you know, the Avengers now that Tony's gone and Cap's gone. And why not have her take a beating and basically have to come back from that loss?
Yeah.
You know, what better, you know, it's always that great story is, have Rogue be the villain.
That'd be a good idea.
You know, I mean, I love the idea. When I read it, I was like, man, I got to save this and bring this up, because that's...
Rogue is a villain. That'd be a nice touch. Well, that's touch
when you really look at them combined, they both, you know, she was the villain to Carol when you read that run. You know, she was working with, I can't remember that X-Men group, the mutant group.
Was it a Hellfire Club?
I don't know if it was Hellfire back then. Sorry, it's been...
All right. I'm just wondering. I thought I might have been in the Hellfire Club, because I know she fought Carol, and then I think she took her powers, and then Carol got him back, and then now like they fought again.
Well, I remember it was Rogue and Mystique working together, and so I don't know if that was if Mystique was part of the working with the Hellfire Club at that point, and that's why, you know, Ms. Marvel became the adversary to Rogue, and then also in turn she became an adversary to the X-Men. And what better way than to meld into your X-Men Avengers? Then jumping into the Secret Wars that you've been drooling about.
Yeah.
What better way, bring them in? But again, it all comes down to, how are they going to introduce the X-Men? That is the magic key. We can talk about these cool ideas of once they're introduced, but how do you introduce? That's your biggest challenge, and that's when we're going to find out what Kevin Feige is made of. I mean, really.
Yeah, because he's got to intro X-Men his way.
He's
yeah,
got to so. intro them, and one of the big things with the X-Men was always their history, their rich history of, yes, I understand we can't go to the, you know, go to you know, World War II and the concentration camps, but we could in turn take it to, I think somebody was talking about that like 8 months ago, 9 months ago, where why not make Xavier Black, or Magneto, I think they were going to make Magneto Black, and have him be part of the
civil rights
movement. And I thought, you know, okay, that's good. You want that kind of tension in their storylines. You want them to be, you know, downtrodden, and because of society treating them a certain way. And now society's not that way anymore. And he's still got that in him to fight that, mm-hmm. You know, fight the power. So, you know, it's still there. So I think that's something he just has to do and figure out. And but if they do, I think what great way to do it is to give Captain Marvel a great story. I think that would be an awesome story for her to have to.
That'd battle. Be great. I'll be down with it, because I was not a big fan of the first one. So that'd be a nice way to go.
Yeah, just give her something, and I think it would bring fans in, and go from there.
See what happens, man.
Yeah, I think because everybody's gonna know. We know Rogue. We know what's gonna happen. This is the moment we've been waiting to see, and finally actually getting it to see it. And then of course there's gonna be that, you know, that and Bree's gonna have to be okay with it. That there's gonna be a lot of venom coming her way, because she's Captain Marvel, because the X-Men fans love Rogue. Mm-hmm. She just has to go, you know what? I gotta put that steel skin on. And just go with it. It's about the character they're going after. So, and I think that would be kind of cool to have those two anti-heroes now facing each other off. And really, in the end, they're both, I know it's your standard superhero trope, or your movie trope in a way, two people coming together, and then they leave both heroes in their own rights.
But in this instance, I wouldn't mind it.
Right. Yeah.
This is different. Like, I've seen that trope a lot, but in this kind of, like, you know, framework of a movie with these two characters, I think it sets it up for very well, and obviously, like you just said, it's a backdoor intro to the X-Men. Yeah. So if they do it right,
well, the X-Men need, that's a good backdoor intro to Rogue. The X-Men should have already, yes. The mutants need to already be explained. And maybe that's where they do the explanation of where they came from during this movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you got anything?
Did you see Mandalorian?
Oh, yes. Of course I saw Mandalorian.
What'd you think?
I think it was awesome. I even love the new character that they're going to come out with. I saw the first run of the toy, the tech guy standing behind the door. They've already
seen that guy.
Yeah, yeah. There's already memes out there with him in a Star Wars
an action figure.
Yep. Mint in box action figure of the guy behind the door.
Guy behind the door, man. I saw that. I was like, what the hell? What a faux pas.
Yeah. But... Well, again, we're talking about somebody that doesn't direct that often. Like, I know you're probably going to bring it up, but you know, it was Carl Weathers. You know. Time right now. I don't know. We never did answer that question when you and I were talking about that. We never did answer if that was his first directorial debut or.
No, we were discussing it last night. I thought it was, but I think you said that he probably had done some of the things.
Like I said, I hadn't seen him in a while, so I know he stayed busy. I know he was doing that Ron Howard show with drawing a blank now. Sorry. I'm trying to do too many things at once here. Sorry.
I don't know, man. I think he's done maybe some shorts or something. That's my guess. I think. I'm trying to look now.
No, I've got it here. Don't worry.
You got it?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see director.
I'm looking, trying to
hear. Yeah, I don't see anything on here for director for him. So that's, yeah, maybe this could have been his directorial debut.
Did a good job. Did a really good job is all I'm going to say. I was very impressed.
I know you started talking about this last night. I don't want to take any thunder away from him at all when I say this. But if anybody's ever listened to Kevin Smith talk about his time in the CW and working on Supergirl, he's really said that these guys already know what they're doing. Not the showrunners. The actors, they already know their marks. They already know their cues. He says basically being there as a director for a television show, you're just basically just hanging out. It's really all it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, not taking anything away from what he did. You can make bad decisions, but as long as you understand, hey, I'm going to let these guys do their thing. I know it's only a season and two or three episodes that these guys have been doing this, but they know what they're doing, and you still have your executive producers behind you and your regular producer. So I'm pretty sure he was there, said called action, called cut. Maybe, hey, can we maybe get, film it from this angle? And that's pretty much what happened. But again, like I said, I'm not wanting to take it away. I just going off of what I've heard other directors say was when you direct a television series, it's cakework.
Yeah, it's simple. Yeah. It's like I said, like you just said it perfectly. I have nothing else to add to that because that's exactly what they do. I mean, I'm sure he did something, but, you know, it's just nice to have his name in there as a credit. He's seen him as a director, and the episode was really good. Like I said, I thought the second straight week we got a 37-minute episode, and it was basically felt like an hour. It felt longer. It just not long outdraw storyline. Had, like, one of the last Empire bases on that planet, and they got rid of it, and just nice little callbacks here and there. And I can't wait for the episode that's going to come on Friday, The Jedi.
I think it's a swerve. I don't think we're going to see Ahsoka just yet. I think it's still too soon. We're probably going to see a Jedi. I'm not saying we're not going to see a Jedi of some sort. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be Ahsoka yet. That's in my gut. I'm just like, I don't know, because the announcement again, we still haven't gotten proper confirmation yet. I don't think we're going to get proper confirmation until we see screen time.
See
it on there. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a title. I don't know if we're going to, that's what we're going to see just yet.
And we saw some stuff with Moff Gideon and some explanation with the child, what they were doing. Trying to take his blood and harness it, and I guess trying to make some kind of force-sensitive troopers, I believe.
Honestly, I believe we're seeing the birth of Snoke.
If you think about it,
we're looking at clones. That's why I try to look at the container, the tank. Mm-hmm. I tried to go back and like catch it, and I just couldn't catch it at the right moment to see it. But that could be the birth of Snoke, you know, them creating Snoke and moving, you know, making a clone of some sort. So
it might be.
There was always that statement last year towards the end of when Mandalorian first came out and we were getting The Last Jedi or Last Skywalker coming out. there was that little rumor that was going through that was saying, you know what, Mandalorian's going to answer the Snoke question that we're not going to get answered in the movie. And that's why I always kind of held out on that. Wondered if we would ever really truly get that. And I think we're now getting to that. Well, I think that's what we're going to see. They look like Death Troopers in a way. And yeah, Gideon had the he was wearing the same kind of unit as they were looked like, but it was like a miniature version of Vader's breathing apparatus.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. He's trying to be Vader without the mask.
Hey, sometimes you don't need the mask, man.
No, you don't need the mask.
We saw what Kylo did without the mask.
I liked them without the mask, me personally.
It was the shirt. The shirt needed to stay on.
It was the shirt needed to stay on, bro. Yeah,
mm. Speaking of Star Wars, dude, have you watched the Lego Christmas special?
It's funny. Before we started the show, I was watching it, but I literally just press play.
Oh, okay.
So I'm literally on 0001, and then I was like, oh, it's time to record.
you watch it, you're gonna have fun. They cover everything. They go through all the time. They have some great moments with Vader and the Emperor. I thought it was a great show. It's made up for. This could be my new Christmas Star Wars to watch. It did make up for the 1982 one that garbage we got back then. And it's fun. I think it's fun. The voice, they got a couple of voice of the actors from Star Wars to come in and do the voices. I think Tran came back, and Anthony Daniels came back for one of probably his last time playing C-3PO. Is probably going to be on this. And then, of course, they brought in other voice actors for the other characters, and some of them like nailed it. I thought they did really good on capturing the voice. But if you guys haven't gotten a chance, it's on Disney Plus. Came out last week, last Wednesday. Make sure you check it out. It was fun.
I will definitely check that out right after this, sir. So
now, we also got news of Deadpool 3. It's definitely been greenlit for the Marvel Universe. And they are, everything I've read, still looking at R-rated. Got a little list here for you, though. I want to throw it at you. I know we did this a couple weeks ago, you know, our Dreamcast of things to happen here. But they've got a list here of possible directors for Deadpool 3.
Hit me. What you got?
All right. First one I have, Edgar Wright. He did Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Baby Driver.
He left Marvel in a different way because he wrote the Ant-Man movie. I mean, if he comes in. It depends. We might just get the Edgar Wright Deadpool. So I don't know. That'd be a weird one. Huh? But he's not a bad choice.
Well, yeah, but you got, keep in mind, though, you're probably going to still have the man that brought it to us. We still have Ryan there going, hey, hold on. You know, he's still got a voice in this, you know, especially now, number three movie. And they're making money on all of them. You know, so far it's not been a wash. You know, they never fell into that typical sequel, you know, trope of, sequel sucks. No, sequel did better. In fact, they made two versions of the sequel. So that's how good.
Really good.
That's how good it was. Yeah. Yeah. And even the PG version's funny. I loved it. I watched. Have you ever gotten a chance to watch that?
No.
Watch it. It is fun. It is really fun. The stuff they cut out and enter in and change, it's well worth it. It's so worth it.
I just love the little song with the juggernaut. Yeah. I always get a kick out of me when
the whole Princess Bride thing going on. It's great. Just that interaction between him and Fred Savage is just on point.
Oh my god!
The next one they have, and he's a Disney Golden Boy right now. All right, they pretty much let him do anything. Taika Waititi.
Yeah, if he wants to.
I mean, he's.
I think he's kind of busy with Thor right now, so I don't see him doing it. But he's not a bad one.
Well, they're not talking right now. I mean, right now they're doing Thor. This is just starting to get that momentum. You know how long it takes to get a movie going. Mm-hmm. Next one is Olivia Wilde, Booksmart. She's done.
Besides Booksmart? I like Booksmart. It was okay.
She is set for the comic book movie project with Sony for Spider-Woman. She hasn't really done much, but it says Reynolds. Let me try that again one more time. Reynolds and Wilde have worked together before as actors, so she's an actor coming in. So, but again, give them a chance. I'm always one for saying give them a chance and see. The fourth one, something you might be okay with, and you're probably gonna have to help me with the name. Chad Stahelski, your John Wick.
Chad Stahelski. Yeah, he could do it.
I mean,
didn't one of the John Wick directors do Deadpool 2?
What's that?
Didn't Chad do Deadpool 2?
I don't know who did Deadpool 2. Sorry, I don't have.
I thought he did. I thought one of the Wick directors did do Deadpool 2.
That's where they didn't. Well, maybe one of them did, but not this one. Because when I'm looking at his list.
I know. I thought one of the two of them did Deadpool 2.
Now, he did have some. He did some like work on set, but not. I don't think he got credit for it. Yeah, it shows like art form behind the scenes under his belt for the Deadpool movie. I think it was the first one.
Okay.
And directorial debut, and I'm kind of interested on this one. Ryan Reynolds. He knows the character better than anyone. Yeah.
You know, out of everybody on that list, why not?
Yeah. I know you kind of poo-poo some first-time actors.
Not in this instance. This is different. This is a guy who knows the character like the back of his hand. He's basically been carrying a torch for this character for years.
Decade.
What are you talking about? Hell yeah, give it to him.
Yeah. I saw that name, I was like, that one, okay, I can definitely go with, because, again, like you say, he's lived and breathed this character for so long. Why not give him the chance?
He hired the writers for the first one. He got together with those guys. So he's obviously going to get some good people to write the movie with him. And a first-time director is always going to have a lot of help. So I don't see a problem with it.
Oh, and one more. I'm sorry. I forgot I had another page on this.
Oh,
Garth Evans, The Raid, The Raid 2, and Apostle.
Another good one. The Raid 2 is so good. Oh, my God. Have you watched The Raid 2?
No, I haven't watched The Raid.
I'll have to look that.
I'll have to add that into my queue.
Oh, man. Both of them. The first one's really good, but the sequel outdoes the first one. It's a lot of good action in it.
So, yeah, that's the six that I can't remember what website did I grab this off. I don't see which website, but yeah, there was a discussion of, hey, who do you think would be the best to direct? And I think I'll
go Ryan.
You take Ryan?
Honestly, I would go Ryan. I'll go Ryan. Yeah. I know those other guys are established, and but like you said, I mean, you sold me on Ryan. Like, he knows the character 100%. He's been behind this, the driving force, for years. So, and who has much passion for the character as he does? Give it to him.
Yep.
Give him a shot. I don't see the harm in it.
I mean, he's already a producer, so I mean, it's not like it's
So he's gonna move one chair over. He goes from here to bloop.
Okay. Yeah,
like a sound effect.
Yep, nice. And they are talking. Yeah, but one of the main reasons this did come up is because there, I guess, a writer's changed on the script as well. So they had some writers move around.
Well, hey, man, you can find writers anywhere. So especially in Hollywood, just look on the street corners; they're there, dude. Trust me.
Well, it looks like that he's actually, it says here that there's no new writers on this time around. According to the Deadline, it says Ryan Reynolds and Disney have tapped sisters Wendy Mullinex and Lizzie Mullinex to write.
What have they done?
That's what I'm seeing here. Let's try that again. While they may not be household names, Mullinex sisters are writers on the rise. They have written for Bob's Burgers for several years. Mm. New series that's coming out, The Great North.
Is it Alexa talking to you?
Yeah, Alexa's talking to me in the background. Sorry, folks. I'm trying to ignore her.
I think Mike has a problem with Alexa right now.
Alexa, be quiet.
Yeah.
Go make a sandwich.
Sorry, guys. Well, hey.
Sorry, guys.
That's Mike at the Hughes Asylum podcast at gmail.com.
That is.
Bob's Burgers, yeah. I have only seen a couple episodes, so... Well, obviously, they have good, you know, comedic timing. And
yeah, that's really when in this character, that's all you really need to worry about. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's the action. Yeah, you want some good stunt guys and some good writing when it comes to that. But it's all about the humor of him.
Let's be honest. If Ryan Reynolds wasn't in the movie, they would never make a Deadpool 3. The guy they need is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't worry about the directors or the writers. As long as they got Ryan in there, he's gonna make.
And you don't even need Ryan. I know. He can do it. He can do it. But get a stunt double in there, like they do for some of the Mandalorian. You know, they have three actors that do Mandalorian. But, you know, Pascal's not in there all the time, but he's the voice every time. So, you can get away with that. That's the nice thing about with Deadpool. You know, the mask. You know, he can always be wearing the mask at this point and just have Reynolds' voice on top of it.
Yeah, he literally could play that character for the rest of his life. Like, when he stops acting physically, he can just go into a sound booth and just record all his lines, for Deadpool 30 coming out in 2040. So,
Very good. And you got anything else?
Let me see. I think I had one more thing. Okay. So Black Panther 2 is going to start filming in July, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, so excuse me. His name is Tinuk Huerta, is eyed for the villain. Tinuk Huerta.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I don't remember what he was from that I can...
Neither. I think he's done some Bollywood films. That's all I can think of. But
cool.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make a Bollywood version of Black Panther 2. I mean, that'd be kind of bold.
Well, it'll be all interesting what they do. What direction do they do? You know, do they pass the torch on to a new Panther? Do they bring Suri in to be Panther now? I mean, because that is the direction of the book, and it is the direction of this new phase, is to bring more female characters in, and they're bringing in Jane Foster as Thor. Why not bring in Suri? I mean, that I'm okay with. I'm not a big fan of the Jane Foster one because I wasn't a big fan of that run. But bring Suri in because that's what happened in the books, and I like that run with her. I thought
plus she's already established.
She's already established.
We like the character, so yep. It's a smooth transition.
We had the you know, the obligatory female, you know, girl power scene. She was involved with everybody. You know, they made the comment. I think it was in Black Panther where, like when she finally did join the fight, you know, a couple of the girls are like, "Well, where's she been this whole time with the, you know, with those weapons,
those gauntlets?"
Definitely. I would love to see her do it. I hope that's the direction they go. And I know they said they're not doing digital editing, like getting a digital face.
Please
on.
Don't.
Yeah,
please,
that's,
don't. Please don't.
Even that's, though they could do it nowadays, it would work. I just don't. You know, it just doesn't give.
I don't want. Just don't. Just don't.
Only time you should do that is if something happens to the actor through, you know, if something happened to an actor and he died midway through production. Yeah. Crow's a great example. You know, they did some, you know, creative editing and shooting and made it look like he was still there. That's fine. But yeah, it's time to, you know, and it's going to be the big trick as to what happened. How are they going to explain what happened? They are going to have to do some digital to show him before he goes away. Maybe.
Probably, yeah.
You know, however they show him dying in a plane crash or, you know, overdosed on catnip. I don't know. I mean, he is the Black Panther, so
overdosed on catnip.
I don't know.
Wow. All right. There's an idea.
And one last thing. You and I kind of went off on this last night. We if nobody knows, or if anybody's ever interested, we do. If you guys can find Kane on Facebook, we do a Saturday night like little chit chat thing just between me and him and a few friends that jump in. But he and I were talking about this, that a Twitter post just got sent out, or not just, but a couple of days ago, showing Mr. Chris Hemsworth jacked the fuck up for his role in the biopic of Hulk Hogan. And I don't know if you saw the picture.
Was it the one he's lifting the tire?
Yeah, it's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He just... You want to talk about the pythons? I mean, dear God,
dude, he's getting jacked. He looks more jacked now. I mean, Hogan's a bigger dude. I mean,
no, I don't know, not on that. I mean, Hogan didn't have like the Hogan had muscle, but he didn't have defined like ripped muscles like that until it wasn't until.
What are
later.
You talking about?
It wasn't until later on. Later on,
he had the 44-inch pythons, man.
Yeah. Okay. but later on, but dude, you look at this picture.
He looks more jacked in those pictures than he ever did in Thor, and he was jacked in Thor. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with him in Guardians and Thor.
I think he's gonna crush it in that Hogan movie.
Yeah,
I just have this feeling. I mean, I've seen him in a couple movies. Yes, he's been great in Thor, but he did like in that horrible Ghostbusters movie. All right, that we both despise. The one thing we both said is we liked Chris Hemsworth in it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did a great job for what he was playing. Kind of a comedic role. I thought he did a great job. So I think you have to add that, some serious, with a little bit of Hogan, and just, you know, bump it up to, like, you know, 11.
Well, even look at Thor Ragnarok. I mean, that was comedic role there as well. I mean, he stretched out his chops and did have some humor to the role. Mm-hmm. You know, not... And Endgame and you know, Avengers, yeah, that was sad, angry, sometimes funny, and when he was funny, it was because he was so sad,
because he was drunk.
Yeah, so, but yeah, definitely, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear more about this movie. I can't wait till the mullet gets put on. That's the moment.
God.
The mullet in the stash. That's when I can't wait to see how that if he can pull that off, He can do it.
Do you think they're gonna film the scene where he wins the title in Madison Square Garden from the Sheik?
I think they're gonna do the Sheik. I think honestly, where you and I talked about, and I think you nailed it on the head last night. I think they're gonna end it with where he wins the title from Andre. I think it's really
well. Oh yeah, or he beats Andre. Yeah,
I think that's going to be a great moment, a great high. Because that when you really think of Hogan's career, that's when it hit the pinnacle, and then after that it plateaued and it stayed high. I'm not saying it didn't go; it went down. It stayed high through it all, and then he took his little break and went to do the boat movie or the boat TV show, and then he came back up. So I think what we're going to see now for this one is the biopic of him growing up. Growing up here in Florida, then going to Minnesota, working with Vern Gagne, then getting built up. I think even during that time, I think that's when he had some fights with the Sheik. Yep. Then see him moving over and seeing a Vince come in, and you and I talked about, they're doing a Vince movie, a Pandemonium, and I think whoever plays the Vince, if they need to cast him now, so he plays Vince in this movie, so that way it's a nice tie in together. And I think that's where we're going to – I think that's where it'll be. It'll be his coming up of age, and then once he hits the peak of really, truly being the icon of professional wrestling, and having the millions and millions of Hulkamaniacs, loving him to death.
Yeah, and I think, that scene, because, when we saw when we were kids, we watched that initial match, and when he slams Andre the Giant, there was rumors that there was a crane helping him slam Andre. It was not a crane. It was all real, and you saw that all over the news too. Entertainment Tonight, they played that clip over and over again where he's just slamming the Giant. I think that's where I think that's where the movie ends. And
yeah, I think that's Paul where it White. Should yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Paul White. No, they need to find somebody else. Paul does not need to be strapped with the Andre thing again. He already got that at the beginning of his career. No, they need to find. There's another actor out there that can do it. I wish I could find the name of the gentleman I'm thinking of, but there is somebody big like that can pull it off instead.
Well, okay. Hopefully.
Yeah. You don't need a. Yeah. Again, Paul White's already had his time as the Giant. He started off as the Giant's son and just. So yeah, we don't. He needs to. He's doing good. I want him to get back onto his TV show. His the one where he's the dad. I love that.
Oh, he got canceled. Did you hear that? No,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
show.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They need to get that back. That was a fun show.
I like that show.
I loved it when all the wrestlers would get together and pick on each other in the show.
Yeah, that was hysterical. I just laughed with that. He was a freaking dad, and apparently he had a daughter from his first marriage that came over, and that was just really funny. He's a funny guy, man. I didn't realize how funny Paul White was until that show.
Oh yeah, no, you need to watch some of the stuff because I mean, you look at some of the crap he did in his career. There's humor in that. He's always been a pretty funny guy. So you have anything else?
No, sir. That's all I got for this week, kids.
All right, guys. Well, again, we got news that the KaiserCon was canceled, so we will not be doing that in 2 weeks, unfortunately. Maybe next year they'll get everything, everything will calm down, and the plague that will not be named will rear its ugly little head somewhere else and finally go away.
Just go away.
But please. we are going to be doing our regular shows like normal. We do have Midnight Movies coming out. We're slowing down a little bit because of the holidays, but we're still going to do at least one or two Midnight Movies a month. We also are going to do the reviews, so make sure you check that out on our sister channel. What's the big news for the Midnight Movies? Where can you find it now, sir?
Spotify. iTunes! Yeah. You can find it in iTunes. Midnight Movies has finally arrived in iTunes.
Yes, right, folks. It is on iTunes. It is on Google, Spotify. You got any of your networks you guys use, you can find it. There's one or two more I have to work on getting it uploaded to, but we got it on the big dogs right now, and so we're happy, and Kane's happy.
I'm very happy.
The site is still under construction. When we made our move, I lost a lot of our episodes, so I'm reloading our episodes. So pretty much anything recent has not been uploaded yet, but I'm going to hopefully get that Thanksgiving Day, since I will not do anything.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything much on Thanksgiving Day. But I'll tell you what we're doing on Friday night. Guys, this is a little shameless plug for the Midnight Movies. We are doing Infinity War. I will post it in the page, and then here's a Simon Podcast page and a Facebook page. So whoever wants to join, just PM Mike or me for details. I don't have a definitive time yet, but we're doing Infinity War. We want a whole bunch of you to be on so we can talk, have some cocktails, and talk about one of the greatest Avengers movies of all time. Mike, what you got?
All right, guys, make sure you do check us out at Streamer Links. patreon.com/heroesasylum or heroes_asylum, which you guys can see just underneath the screen right now. You can go there and find all of our links to all of our podcast channels and all of our social media, which is where?
Twitter @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast and Instagram @TheHeroesAsylum. From Mike to me to you, happy Thanksgiving and get to the asylum.